Hi, everyone. Welcome to Taz Talk, the show where we talk about the Adventure Zone podcast. Today, we're talking about episode 2 of Taz Dust, Travis's mini arc. Griffin, did Griffin say he was sick again? Wasn't he just sick?
Rachel, I think that was maybe in character. I'm hoping. I think that was just Errol.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
Nice. We're starting from the very, very beginning. No, I think it's the boys were just trying to find their voices. And I think he was going a little gruff with Errol.
But it was also because
he was parched. If we're going to start with Griffin, I'm just going to straight up say, I love all the wolf puns.
Me too.
The more delicious end of the stick.
Yes, I laughed really hard. I love, because I play like a werewolf cleric in my work D&D campaign, and something about treating wolves like just big dog, werewolves like big dogs is the best.
Oh,
and the
totally
jokes
is.
About that are the best.
I love it. I adore it. I also like that we have our first recurring joke. Well, maybe not first, but this is definitely the one that I'm remembering more, is that Errol just can't get a drink.
Oh yeah, Root Beer Quest?
Yeah, he's such a thirsty boy. Root Beer Quest.
He seems like a sweetheart, and I regret not naming the last episode Werewolf Blue Jeans, because I'm pretty sure we were making jokes about him sounding like Barry Blue Jeans. And Werewolf Blue Jean sounds really, really funny to me.
Werewolf President sounds pretty good, too.
Werewolf Detective.
Werewolf Detective.
I like that.
Wolf Boy Best Friend. lots of good kudos for Griffin this week. Before we wander in on this one, I just wanted to point out this, I think, arc, and, remind me if I'm very wrong about this, but it's a good old-fashioned whodunit,
as far as
the kind of adventure it is. And I feel like we haven't actually had a proper whodunit since Jenkins and the Rockport Limited.
I
could be very
wrong. I'm trying
wrong.
To think.
I guess you could technically call it Amnesty, like, what monster done it?
No, I don't think that's the same thing.
Not really.
It's not the same, like, you're trying to go around and find clues. Hundreds of clues, even thousands, according to Errol, who is really funny and adorable. I really like him.
I like him, too.
His little fucking garden in his yard.
Yes! I was just about to say, like, I love that there's such, like, a backstory, and that they're, like, collaborating live for the audience as to how to, like, take into consideration his backstory and all that. I think it's super neat.
It is really neat.
Yeah.
Gandhi's super adorable, too.
Gandhi is
wild. Yeah, Clint's doing a very good job.
Yes, yes. Did you catch when she was talking? I don't remember if she was talking to... Oh, I'm going to mess up everyone's names. There are a lot of characters. And I say this every time we talk about something that's not balanced, but there are just so many characters.
Are you thinking of M, the ghost gambler?
I was thinking about the dude in the cage.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's right. Yeah, I don't... Marcus?
Marcus. When she was saying to Marcus... Wasn't she talking to Marcus when she had that line about how that she won a poker tournament somewhere?
I don't remember.
It was a very... Oh, man, I'm going to have to... This is what happens when I listen once before we record. it was like a split second, but there was like a line that she mentioned nonchalantly to someone saying that she won a poker tournament in like some far-off country, to which I in my head, I was like, Gandhi, you sly dog, you... Like, you knew. You didn't need to cheat. You already knew. I love
so
that.
Fun.
Yeah, no, but I love uninhibited enthusiasm. I love it in all of its forms. So Gandhi getting excited and being excited and like pulling, well, not even pulling, you know, because he's a ghost, but like being like, hey, ghost pal, we're going to gamble. Like, that's fun.
Yeah, I think, I hate to say it because like, Justin, you're my fave boy and I love you, but I think Augustus is the weakest character for me in this arc. I really like Gandhi a lot, and Errol's really cute too.
Yeah. Let me think about
that. I like when they call him Gus, though. I think that's
super
funny.
I love when they call him
because
Gus.
Because he's obviously not into it. Like, he didn't even need to say that for me to know, like, ooh, he's not gonna like that.
I think, and maybe I'm thinking about this kind of strangely, but it kind of feels to me like Gus is the only, now I'm gonna call him Gus, it kind of feels like Gus is almost like a passive passenger on this adventure, only because the beats that we've taken, it's mostly been like Gandhi wants to do this, or Errol really feels strongly about this, but Gus hasn't really, and maybe he has.
I get that same sense, and yeah. It's weird because he's a PC player character, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but he's also a ghost. So in a way, it kind of makes sense. Like, I kind of like it. I hope Justin's okay with it. But if he is, it's kind of like a funny role to take. Kind it of is. Like
yeah.
ghost sidekick.
Yeah, you're the Casper to everyone's, like... and he's just kind of, like, going along for the ride. Which isn't to say that he's not an active participant in the story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, but it's just... I think maybe that's why it feels like we know Gandhi and Errol a little bit more. Is just their like... thoughts and intentions, I guess, seem a little bit clearer. Mm-hmm. But Gus and Justin did do a good this week because they mentioned more about like the faction roles or the faction moves and how to level up in Urban Shadows.
Right.
And if you've been a longtime listener of Taz Talk, our three listeners, you'll know that Rachel and I feel we have feelings about the different games that the boys are playing. So I don't really understand a lot of Urban Shadows. And I guess I'm kind of okay with it because the narrative is so like it sweeps me up and it cradles me in its arms. So I
want them to get inspiration points. Intimacy points.
Yeah, they haven't touched that at all.
No, and I'm like really interested in that mechanic. You know what I found out recently? Inspiration in 5th edition D&D, I thought that was just for anything you did that was cool, the DM could give you inspiration. But yeah. It's specifically supposed to be for good roleplay.
Aww.
Yeah, so like I didn't realize D&D already had a mechanic like that built into it. I thought it was more of a general purpose thing. But that's why when I heard this, I was like, holy shit, that would be so useful to encourage people to role play.
Yeah, dude. Oh my god. Now that I know, I guess. Oh man. I was about to say. I guess I'll have to try harder. But I actually kind of try hard already.
You're doing great, Chelsea. Don't worry. You are not the weakest role play link by far.
Taz Talk's like description and Twitter should just be it's two girls talking about the adventure zone and also consoling and validating each other.
Yeah, two girls. Well. Two girls talking shit about their fellow party members, basically.
Oh, we love them.
That's true.
Anyway, so about Dust.
What do you think did it?
That's okay. I was hoping this was going to come later in the episode. When
did you have any other... I actually don't have a ton of notes. So if you have other stuff...
either, but I was hoping to stall a little bit because I honestly don't really know. My next...
I have...
You have
theory,
one already?
I guess.
Oh god.
I guess so.
Well, before you go into that, I just wanted to say like there is a lot going on in this arc. And it feels really cool that there's so much going on, but I really need to like draw a map of who's connected to what and who is who, and there's just so many names. I guess the difference between this arc and Commitment is that in Commitment it was a lot of different characters, and maybe not everyone had an active role in the story, which is why it just felt like a lot. Mm-hmm. But in this one, like, I don't know how Travis has so many voices, because he is giving everyone a full name, like, something of a backstory, their relationship to others, what their role is, what their financial status is. Like, there's a lot that he's packing into this, like, hour a week.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like... In a way, I almost prefer the weird, like, faceless, massive side implied side characters that were in Commitment, because I didn't feel the burden of knowledge about them. It was just like, oh, they're there, and that's fine.
Yes, yeah.
Not the same way where it's like, I feel like I don't totally understand what's going on in Dust, unless, like you said, I gotta sit down and draw, like, a family trees and a flowchart and a town, like, map to, like,
totally
figure out where everyone is and what everyone's relationship is.
Yeah. But I really have to, like, sit down and listen to this multiple times, because by the end of this episode, the one time that I actually listened to it before we had to record, I had like, they were talking about a deal, and I was like, wait, what deal? Was there a deal? What deal? And it wasn't until I listened to the beginning part of this episode again that I was like, oh, there's a deal, and they all know about it, but I had no idea what was going on.
I think it's been alluded to by different NPCs, and I think the point is they still don't know what the deal is exactly, right? They've been trying to, like, get information from people.
Yeah, so when Marcus was even like, yeah, the mines are unregulated or something, or it's outside of city hall, town boundaries, something. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard for me to follow, because I was like, wait, but then who is that benefiting? Does this play into who you think done it?
Not exactly. Here's the thing.
Wow. Okay,
I haven't like totally like plugged into all of the politics that are going on, but I'm not sure you need to understand that in order to. It's like, do you ever watch Jeopardy?
Yes.
You know how like a lot of clues have two parts of the clue. And if you know one thing, you don't need to understand the other thing being referenced in the clue. I get stuff right all the time just because I understood one thing in the clue.
Yeah, you can use, and like,
so that's
contextual.
What I feel like, yeah. So, like, the second part is to, like, really hammer it home if you're not, like, immediately getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, somebody in, I think it was Justin, made this comment about, a joke about how, like, I know the elderly love, like.
Oh, my God, yeah, the procedurals. That was
exactly,
so good.
Yeah. It was good, and it's like, my parents fucking love their crime shows, man, and, like, it's not my preferred genre.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, listening to this, it's like, I'm not really good at guessing whodunits, and I don't, like, know if I have the energy to, like, really sit down and try to figure it out, because, but I could get to my little pet theory that I have in the meantime.
Yeah, yeah, go for it, by all means.
Okay, before that, I have a question. I didn't exactly understand who Liam was in relation to Anne, if Anne and Jeremiah just got married. I think at first I assumed, like, Liam was Anne's boyfriend or something, answering the door for her.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I thought at first, too. But then when I listened to the beginning, in the beginning, Annabelle, that's the mom, Annabelle Mathis?
Abigail?
Right? Annabelle? Antoinette.
There's definitely an Abigail.
I'm pretty sure it's Abigail. Abigail is the mom of Dylan Mathis.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. So Abigail Mathis referred to Liam as the
Is it Mathis or Mathers?
Mathis. I'm pretty sure it's Mathis.
There's so many names, Chelsea.
I know. I'm sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us, internet, please. I'm pretty sure. I'm like 99% sure it's Mathis. But so Annabelle... I'm not 99% sure that her name is Annabelle. It could be Abigail. I think it might be Abigail.
I think it's Abigail. But I'm not certain either.
Yeah.
But it's because...
Mama Mathis.
And I remember distinctly at the end of the episode, Travis accidentally calling Anne Abigail. Mm-hmm, and I was pretty sure that was Anne's mom. So yes. If there is an Anne, an Abigail, and an Annabelle, I'm going to lose it.
God. I really hope not. So Abigail Mathis was in the bar, and she said that the deal... it was between her and the Blackwells and the workers. And Liam was the speaker of the... Like, he spoke for the workers. So, if Liam is also... He was at the Mathis household and standing guard for Anne?
Was he standing guard? Was that established? What? Or is that, like, an assumption?
That's my assumption. Well, so we know that Abigail trusts Liam... at first, so you're right, like when the door opened, I thought that Liam was Anne's boyfriend, but then like for some reason I got the feeling that maybe Liam was Anne's uncle, because when they were building like the map of the layout of the houses of the compound, they were like, Abigail's house is next to her brother's house, is next to her dad's house, like the whole family. So for some reason in my head I was like, oh, okay, so Liam's the uncle. But I don't think that's true, because Liam is flesh, and... Wait, no. No, okay, now I'm confused.
I think Anne is flesh, and I think Liam's a wolf.
Yes. 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 Anne is flesh, Liam is fur, because he said that he had to wear the claws because he had an allergy to silver. So
yep.
He's... Yeah. But so... So Liam also, like, so Liam is a fur, but he also represents the workers, which I, okay, I guess that makes sense. Okay. For some reason, I thought the workers were flesh, like, exclusively flesh, but I guess...
Listeners, please forgive us for not knowing what the hell is going on.
Yeah, well, there's a, there's just, like, Game of Thrones level of... And I actually don't think it's Game of Thrones. Like, it's probably a lot... it's a lot less complex than Game of Thrones, but it feels like Game of Thrones just because there's a lot of family and a lot of intrigue.
There's, yeah, a lot of intrigue and a lot of, like, politics.
Yes.
Interpersonal politics.
Yes. So...
And real politics, but, like, small-town version.
Yeah, yeah. But I think... Okay, so we've established that Liam is a fur, that he works in the mines, and that he was hanging out with Anne... in Abigail's house for some reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Second question I have, yes. Or whatever number question.
Yes, yes.
When I should know this, but when they were looking at the table and Errol noticed the glove, was mm-hmm. it one glove or was it a pair of gloves?
Oh, I don't know that they specified.
Because I had it in my head that it was a single glove.
Ooh.
And I don't know if that's the... I can't remember now. I should have, like, listened again and looked this up. But if... Okay, so if it's a single glove, then the fact that there was no blood on it doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
If it's both gloves, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
It's less clear. Although Liam said, oh, I'm the only one who has gloves like that. So, like...
Oh, he did?
It's possible. Yeah.
Oh.
Because he was saying that, like, I'm the only wolf that works in the mine. Because Griffin, I think Griffin was saying, or Errol was saying, do lots of people have gloves like this?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, here's my theory. And the thing is, like, when I was originally here, like, now that I'm thinking about the whole deal and that whole context, that probably has something to do with the murder. In my mind, I just went, okay, politics, and, like, totally glazed over it because I'm a, like, disgusting worm. But I think my... dumb theory that I had was like, okay, Anne and Jeremiah were married.
Mm-hmm.
Liam has some beef with Jeremiah, maybe over the deal, maybe not, but also he's in love with Anne and wanted to, like, get Jeremiah out of the way
mm-hmm.
and get Anne all to himself.
Okay, wait. So let's think about the implications of that then. So if Liam was into Anne and they found fur and claw marks... on Jeremiah, Dylan is covering for Liam?
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Okay, you're right. My completely weak, unfounded theory blown open.
Well, okay, wait. But, well, because it's very possible. Okay, wait. Huh. Whodunits are, like, infuriating.
The other thing is, I feel like, again, this is not my normal genre, so I'm not speaking with that much authority here. But in my experience, maybe I'm just dumb, but in my experience, any kind of mystery story that's built as a whodunit and you have to, like, you're kind of going along with the protagonist finding clues, I feel like you need to be a really talented writer to be able to make a mystery that somebody can solve before they get to the page that reveals who the villain was.
Yeah.
Because otherwise... if the right information doesn't get revealed at some, like, sometimes the information that gets revealed, it's like
obtuse,
not obtuse. Obvious? I can't think of the not obvious. What's the word? It's just like the character just happens to stumble upon something that's like, shoehorned? Oh, that's a clue. Maybe shoehorn. Mm. Yeah. Something where it just feels like, I think there are a lot of mysteries that are written in such a way that, like, you just don't have enough information to solve the mystery.
Is this one of those?
Ahead of time. I have no idea, because I'm also not good at this.
Well, okay. I would say maybe that this is one of those, maybe.
I actually trust Travis and think, like, that might not be the case.
Well,
but
I trust it, Travis, in that I'm sure that this is all going to pan out and it's going to seem very obvious to us later. But yeah. I don't think we have enough information. Like,
yeah, that's the point I was trying to make, which is that we're still, no, it's not your fault. I was kind of, like, lost myself on a tangent. That we're only on episode 2, and I feel like, even though I want to guess at this point, it probably is dumb, because there's just still information that's going to come out afterward.
Yeah.
And, like, any theory that I make now could easily be invalidated by stuff we find out next episode.
Yeah,
so it's like, I want to guess, but also I don't know if there's much of a point.
Well, I think that's half the fun of having your own podcast about a weekly updating podcast. Is that You and your friends, you can just make guesses. Like, remember when we thought the bomb bombs in Amnesty, maybe they were related to Eldritch, and maybe they were like maybe tameable with some clothes, but no one ever tried, so you know,
you
like...
say we, Chelsea, but I don't remember voicing any of those opinions.
Well, to each their own.
No, but I know what you mean. Like, I had my whole, like, oh, this is Griffin's Undertale campaign theory. And, like, you know, there's all this stuff that we can guess at. And you're right. That, it's fun to guess about those things.
It is.
But that's, like, that's a, I feel like that's a layer below trying to guess at something that is specifically designed to be guessed about. I don't know, like, an unfolding mystery like this, it feels like, ooh, I'm out of my depth here.
Yeah.
This is
not
my dick. Can't do this.
That being said, though, I would also like to place a guess as to who I think it is.
Do it.
But I don't know that I know everyone's names.
Oh.
So that's why I'm like, what names do I actually know? When I think about, like, capers and, like, whodunits and things, I usually try to consider people's motivations. But because I'm not entirely sure about what the deal is and who would benefit and why anyone would kill Jeremiah because of it, like, I guess they killed Jeremiah Blackwell because they don't want the deal to happen because they aren't benefiting from it.
I don't know who they they would be the culprit. It doesn't make sense to me because I wish I remembered Dylan's words exactly in the jail cell, but he was saying, like, I don't want to talk about it, like, she wouldn't want me to.
Yeah.
And then the she ends up being Anne, and Anne admits, oh yeah, me and Jeremiah were married.
Yeah.
Why would you admit that? The spouse is always the first suspect.
Yeah.
It's like...
Well, that- so maybe it is her, and maybe she used the gloves because she's not a fur herself, but then why would...
I don't know.
But then why
I don't know why
fur?
She... Yeah. It seems like if she was secretly married to Jeremiah, she could have just kept that a secret and not incriminated herself, unless it wasn't her. But then I don't know why her and Dylan, at first I thought they were like, either Anne did it and Dylan was protecting her, or someone else did it and then Dylan and Anne are just protecting that third party. Yeah. But I can't imagine why Anne would want to protect that third party if she was married to Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Unless it was, like, I don't know, secret shotgun wedding? That doesn't make sense either. I'm not really sure.
I'm not sure either. Well, see, okay, so after this murder happened, they went home and went to sleep?
That's
the other thing, too. Like, so Anne, because Anne already knew, but she said that her mom told her. But if this, like, the murder only happened an hour ago, like... So her husband gets killed and she's not, like, mourning him at the graveyard. She just
goes home
to sleep.
Maybe she wasn't. I don't know. I don't remember Travis saying, like, oh, she looks really upset or anything. It was just like, I mean, maybe she wasn't asleep because the, like, snortling asleep grunt that Errol heard when he was knocking was Liam.
Yes, yes.
So Anne could have been in the back of the house sobbing for all we know.
That's
but
true.
Travis didn't say, oh, she looks like she's been crying. Yeah. She's just like, she just came out from what I remember.
Yeah. And maybe
unless I like totally glazed over any description like that.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure. Cause I was trying to think back too. And I was like, she seems very calm. Maybe a little bit sad, but she doesn't
maybe
seem
a little
distraught.
Too calm. Don't you think?
Exactly. She doesn't seem distraught. Like if the person I married died, murdered, was like, I would probably be like, what's the word? Inconsolable? Unconsolable?
Yeah. Inconsolable. Like, I mean, maybe she's in shock. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah. But it does seem a bit incriminating. But
it
I also
does.
I also don't know, like, what do we benefit from knowing that they are married? Other than...
I don't know. I think the reason I immediately wanted to, like, accuse Liam and turn it into this, like, weird love triangle thing is because I think for me, like... I'm not a very politically minded person. So when I find out, oh, there's some interpersonal thing going on, my mind immediately goes to that. And I'm like, that's what caused the murder. The big deal political thing is a red herring. I don't know if that's true. That would be like, I think it could go either way.
But
That's my theory. And I'm sticking to it until next episode when I get proved wrong.
Well, I feel like that's a pretty, like, you see that a lot in stories in general. Like, there will be some politics going on in the background, but really the story, the meat of it, is people's interpersonal relationships. Like Star Wars, for example. Like,
that's a good example.
The Empire and the Jedi, but ultimately it's all about, like, you know, the characters' relationships. So
yeah, and I mean, crimes of passion are the most common murders, right?
I thought you were going to say interesting. Maybe both.
Well, we're getting into the morbid part of the podcast. I actually don't know if I think that.
I can't.
Now that we're talking about it.
I think
probably the most calculated and intricately planned murders would be the most interesting.
Yeah, those are actually... But... I think you can have an intricate... Can you have an intricate murder and it have not, it not an be intricate, impassioned?
An intricate... I don't think so. Because that's what's the difference between homicide maybe manslaughter is when you kill someone, but it could be on accident. And then there's, like first degree murder is when it has to be premeditated. Listen, like this is years of watching my parents watch Law and Order. Like, finally a use for all of this knowledge I passively absorbed from the other room.
Yeah, that would make sense. So you can't have a calculated crime also be in passion. Like, passion implies that it was... not improvised, but, like, not planned.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, like, people, like, really strong emotions can put people in, like, altered states. And it's not an excuse, but it is something that the law takes into consideration. Like, if you kill someone in the heat of the moment, like, that happens, and that's awful. But if you get really mad at someone and then you go home and you, like, stay mad at them long enough to plan their murder, that's worse. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I actually don't feel like I'm in the place to make moral judgments about this.
You started this episode saying, yeah, you know, like, procedurals and murders and whodunits, not my wheelhouse. But then we're going to end this episode by you saying, this is how homicides work.
Okay. Maybe I had more to say about this genre than I thought I did. I had it all built up inside of me in a hidden place.
Yeah, I have no idea who did it. I guess I'm gonna, you know, if you're gonna put your hat behind Liam and not really know why exactly, I'm gonna put my hat behind Anne, I guess. But that doesn't make sense. Okay, maybe
I mean, it could be a character we haven't even met yet. I don't know, it's not clear.
What if it's I'm gonna go out on like a limb. I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna say it's the casino lady.
Fucking Isabella.
Yeah.
Isabella Swan.
Yeah.
Just kidding, that's a joke. That Isabella Slate. Chelsea, Isabella Swan is the main character of The Twilight.
I know.
Isabella Slate has a blood slave. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Is she a vampire? I guess she's a vampire.
Yes. Yeah, she's a vampire. That was actually a cool scene, the whole setup. Yeah. Good job, Travis. Like, Gandy and Gus, how are you going to handle this?
I like...
Played out very funny. That was cool.
It did. And I also like that they were rating each other's, emotions in when you describe things?
Oh, you mean like the evocation reviews?
Yeah. Is that the right word?
They definitely talked about evocation reviews, but I don't know if you're talking about a different thing.
No, it is. It is. When I think evocation, I think magic.
I know. It's because Griffin specifically said, I didn't know we were doing evocation reviews. Yeah. And my mind also went to, like, oh, like conjuring fires. Oh, no, I don't know. Evocation is, like, fire magic and
it
elements
is,
and stuff.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
But that's exactly what I, yeah. That was pretty good.
So, do you want to say Isabella Slate did it?
I mean, I guess, but I don't know why.
Yeah, that's the thing. And another thing is that, like, I'm here saying, oh, the deal... that might be a red herring. The fucking glove is way more of an obvious red herring, actually, now that I think about it. Like, classic misdirection, Travis.
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say maybe the workers, because they were saying, like, the way that casinos work is that you let them win a little bit, but not enough that they're going to walk away. So maybe, like, a good compromise is that everyone is a little bit upset. So maybe one, like, one party was, like, more upset than the other ones, that they really were getting the short end of the delicious stick. So maybe the people who were getting short were the workers, which is why maybe... And Isabella, like, she came into this town and she, like, turned over this casino that... And she gave it back to the workers. Like, her interests appeared to have the workers in mind. So maybe the workers were getting, like, the raw end of this deal or something. And maybe they went to Isabella and they were like, hey, so we hate this deal or something. Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess. Yeah, I take it back, actually. I think, like... There's no way Travis... I don't think Travis would have put all of this effort into, like, setting up the context for whatever political situation is going on in this town and then go, oh, just kidding, it was a lover's love triangle murder.
Yeah.
The deal is probably a big part of it.
Yeah. Just because they keep... Everyone keeps referring to it.
Yeah, in the meantime, I guess I'd still think it's Liam.
You go with Liam. I'll go with Isabella
Swan, remember?
Oh, God.
I'm just teasing.
Okay, now we'll go with we'll reconvene next week and we'll see what happens.
I was gonna make some whole joke about, like, oh, Bella ditched Edward and then got married to some slate guy and then time traveled and now here she is running a vampire casino. I have now made the joke that I should change my mind about. But
I was about
that's
to
how,
say you should have just changed your mind.
There's one more thing I wanted to say about Liam. I can't remember. Oh, the other thing. Okay, here's what I want to say is that my instinct, what pushes me against wanting to accuse Liam is, like, the glove and stuff makes it feel like it's too obvious. And that's what makes me think, like, well, maybe it's just a misdirection. But on the other hand, this is a tabletop RPG, and the players decide where they want to go. So it's totally conceivable that by accident they could hit on the really key evidence really early in a way that, like, would cut the dramatic tension. It would be the flow of the story wouldn't necessarily be as formulaic as a normal mystery.
That's true. That's true. Because you're
so,
right.
So, yeah, like, maybe if it seems obvious, maybe that's just because they got lucky and they found the right shit first.
Maybe. I do also want to point out that when they went to see Michael and Gus was talking to the ghost was saying that Jeremiah felt confused and angry and betrayed.
Oh, that's right. Fucking Anne or Liam fucking did it, man. Is Anne. Okay, I changed my... I'm going back to Anne. It was definitely her.
Okay.
She stole Liam's glove.
Yeah.
She was sick of Jeremiah. Something went... I don't know.
Maybe, like, I don't know, Dylan... Because Dylan was drinking, and then he, like, felt a presence, and then he ran off. So maybe, like, his twin sense was, like, Anne's in trouble.
I have no idea.
And then maybe
dude.
He was, like, clutching Jeremiah and being like, bro.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So if Jeremiah felt confused and betrayed, it's also possible that he got killed by someone who then, like, got out of the way really fast. And then the person Jeremiah saw was a close person to him. And he thought, oh, you're my murderer. But they weren't real. I'm trying to think of, like, how we could exonerate Dylan and Anne, and I can't
basically,
like,
they look pretty guilty right now.
They look pretty guilty, but everyone keeps saying they're so nice and they were so close to Jeremiah.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up.
Fuck, we need to hit the beat again, whatever. Cop lingo. Detective words.
Yeah,
get my fucking, like, I was trying to make a Blue's Clues reference, but then I realized I don't remember anything. That's like a whodunit too, right?
I mean,
he sits in the big chair and he's got the little notebook that has Blue's Clues in it. Yeah, he has to solve the...
They gotta sit down and they gotta think.
Yeah, and then the mail comes and they sing the song. Okay, another thing that I keep thinking of, I've been fucking Angus McDonald's line about the three C's of detective work. It's like something, and God, I can't remember. You know, he says, like, Griffin says, cracking clues in that really funny voice, and that's, like, the third thing. I gotta look up the line, because I've been thinking it this whole time, but I only know half of it, and it's driving me nuts.
To be fair, you only know one third of it.
Fuck! Am I even a real Taz fan?
End the podcast. We're done here.
Okay. Wait, we gotta tell people where they can email us.
We really are gonna end the podcast. All right, Rachel, I think we're done.
I don't have anything else to say about this episode.
We don't. We need more clues.
We need more clues, boys. So time, clock's ticking.
Rachel totally thinks it's Anne. I totally think it's Isabella.
We need to come up with a new name for her.
Whatever. Reconvene. We'll reconvene about our guesses when we have more information. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, stay tuned, people. It's going to be wild. Okay. If you want to get in contact with us, you can find us on Tumblr at taztalk.tumblr.com, or you can send us an email at taztalkpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can tweet at us. We are on Twitter. We are at taztalkpodcast.
Cool. Okay. Boy, I'm on the edge of my seat here, Chels. Getting exciting.
I just want resolution.
Maybe a little bit of revolution, too, huh? Workers' rights? Whatever's going on in this town? How's that?
I was about to reference Hamilton, but then I hesitated, and now I'm just talking about what could have been.
That's the moral of this episode, Chelsea, is that when you think of a good joke, don't hold yourself back. Don't pull your punches. Just fucking hit me with it, dude.
But the other thing about this episode is when you're trying to talk about a podcast, maybe write down some of the things that you want to... maybe get all the facts.
That's enough.
Okay, we're done. All right.
Okay, bye, everyone.
Till next week.
Bye.